Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the country. We just finished the Dog Talk podcast live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania with Dr. Greg Roscoe. We're in the middle of it right now with the Sports Talk Saturdays, hosted by my good friend Bruce Kessinger out of Oakland, California. Special guest Scott Morgenroth. And right after this show at the top of the hour will be live from Seattle, Washington, James Donaldson has three-time world champ Bill Cartwright on that show. So, boy almighty, Saturdays are something else, boys and girls across the country. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, producing and playing a little co-host with the boys, 347-205-9631. You can catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, more of these guys, less of me. As I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. First of all, Bruce, how are you? Second of all, how can people get a hold of you? Third of all, are you going one-on-one with Bill Cartwright after this show?
Yeah, I'll say something interesting about Bill Cartwright later on. Well, right now I'm just waiting to see if my challenge is accepted by the referees. I could be reached at holyroller91978@gmail.com. I am also on Facebook. Let's have Scott's information.
Hey, hello, everybody. I appreciate you guys again. Mark, coming off a great episode last night for Fire Up Florida, man, South Florida Sports Capital. Want to reach me, you can do so on Twitter at Tribune South. Go to our website, www.southfloridatribune.com. And also, please subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel so you get to see all of our incredible shows, because Allie knows we've got a lot of them, and we're going to have a lot more of them. And southfloridatribune@gmail.com if you want to send me any love or hate mail. I'm open for that, too. I've heard it all anyways.
Yeah, prayers and thoughts for you to get better with your beautiful wife there. And as we lay the topics down, I want to lay the first one, guys. Then we'll give it over to you, Bruce. Then get over to Scott. My topic happens to be the crap that's going around the sports these days. You had Dodger fans fighting with Padre fans in San Diego when the Dodgers were down there. You had the Yankee fans throwing crap at the Cleveland Guardian players and stuff and full beers and everything. We've seen this thing now take full effect last night in Milwaukee in the Deer District. People out there watching the game on big screen TVs in the downtown area. 20 people were shot, not life-threatening, but this is absolutely crazy. I think they got to do something about this, Bruce. And Scott, I'll give you the first shot, Bruce. They got to start banning people. They got to start really taking things away. And these bans can't be, you know, okay, we're going to, you know, not have you here the remainder of the playoffs. These things got to be lifetime bans. Seriously, across the board in New York, San Diego, and Milwaukee, the only way things get taken care of is you got to do things the right way, and that means get rid of these guys so they don't have an opportunity to do this again. The big problem I have, guys, is, you know, this country was built on biblical things. And, you know, you start having, you know, guys, you drag them out and hang these guys. I mean, it's ridiculous, man, what's going on. People can't even go watch games or anything without these clowns and bozos taking center stage and making a name for themselves. And the minute, you know, somebody gets shot, they're running like cowards to the hills. Bruce, any thought to this? And we'll give it over to Scott.
Well, you had this. I mean, the idea of shooting, it's like, you know, of course they're going to be banned. They should be taken to in jail. You know, that'll keep them out of games. There was also a couple of incidences where the Dallas fans put their hands on Chris Paul's family, or at least allegedly. NBA is going to investigate it. And interestingly enough, you bring up Bill Cartwright. It's too bad we don't have him on the show, because his arch rival, Gene Ransom, who was at Berkeley High, we lost the state championship to Bill Cartwright's Elk Grove basketball team in high school, and Gene Ransom was shot to death while driving on the freeway recently. So, I was reminded of that when you mentioned Bill Cartwright. But anyway, back to the subject at hand, makes us Warrior fans look great, doesn't it? I mean, everybody else I'm just hearing all these bad things about. You have to find out who's doing it, first off. And when it comes to guns, no one's going to sit there and wave it until they shoot it, and then they're going to get out of there fast, or they're going to go to jail. Of course, they do the same thing in England. They look for the hooligans at the soccer games. They got to find out who it is. It takes investigations. It takes time. Of course, I agree with banning them for a lifetime situation. It's not needed, and it should be announced even before they come into the games. You get caught doing this, you're caught doing that, you ain't coming back. What more can I say? I mean, the shooting I didn't hear about until just now. Obviously happened after night's or during last night's game. I didn't know how to stop it, but yes, you ban these people for a lifetime.
Yep. Scott, as we give it over to you, it's been a while since I've been to Florida. I don't know how bad it is down there. I mean, they don't get a lot of people coming to those Marlin games. I don't know if the Dolphin faithful, you hear about the New Yorkers and everything, and people from Philly getting into these fights and stuff. I don't know how much it is with the Dolphins or the Heat or the Panthers. Congrats on the Panthers, by the way, taking out those hated Caps last night. But what's your thought on all this with the banning of these people? I mean, the thuggery is going to go.
Well, let me talk about an incident that happened many years ago in 1995 when my brother and I and two friends went over to New Jersey. My brother insisted that we wear Red Wing jerseys over to Devils game. And I'll tell you, that situation was tough because they harassed the daylights out of us. A couple of us ended up Red Wing guys through punches. And, we didn't get thrown out, but the security advised us to leave. Otherwise, it would get dangerous because we were kind of like outnumbered. So I guess the one thing I can tell you is if there's anything that you appreciate about being a member of the media, you get to sit in the press box and don't have to deal with it, number one, because I've been in enough enemy stadiums to begin with, or I'd be better off with the computer than I am having to deal with these guys out there. But yeah, it's out of control. I mean, let's not kid yourself. The fans think that they can spend a lot of money, do whatever the heck they want, and all of a sudden you get into these players. You know what? Before we went on here, Bruce made an outstanding point about the baloney that took place out in Dallas with Chris Paul's family. Please, folks, that's not necessary in dealing with a guy's mother and his wife and anybody that's close. That's just uncalled for. These people should get permanently banned. If you're on camera, make sure they never enter that facility ever again. The severest punishment that you can have, you should have, until you've been a part of something that's stupid. You know, my brother tried the trick to antagonize Blackhawk fans. Bulls fans, excuse me. I never wore a jersey. I kept quiet. The problem with people in Chicago, they're nice people, okay? So they're not going to bother you like those folks in New Jersey. New Jersey people in the Northeast, my brother had very little knowledge. They're ruthless. He learned real quick. I said, what are you, stupid? Don't insult these people. They don't care. They're out for vengeance. But the Midwest, a little different breed of animal for sure. So, but they should be banned and outlawed. And what happened with Chris Paul, Bruce, and I'm glad you brought this up beforehand, was totally absurd. And what's happened in Milwaukee, it's too bad because it's a great town. My wife is from there, and I have family there as well, obviously, in-laws and so forth. Milwaukee's a great town. It's just too bad there's been a lot of incidents in Wisconsin between the incidents in Kenosha and now this. It's just a black mark of Wisconsin that doesn't need to be there.
Exactly. And as we give it over to you, it looks like an Amber Alert coming through the phones, lines, and everything in general, man. I'll tell you, when you see these things coming through, and hopefully everything works out over there to the parties. But what Bruce, the thing I like to talk about with that, and to put the final touches on it, what Scott did, he elaborated perfectly. You know, that there's no nonsense for it. We all agree that these guys need to be banned, the lifetime bans, and move on with it. Another situation that popped up, Dylan Brooks made a comment about the Golden State Warriors. He said, we're going to be a thorn with these guys. They're too old. We're too young. That's a blanket statement. That's bulletin board material. I don't know why you'd make a comment after you just got disposed by those dudes in six games. and they've won a lot of championships, and you haven't won nothing. So good luck with that comment, Dylan Brooks. Any thought to his comment? We'll give it over to Scott, and then you guys can throw some topics, starting with you, Bruce, after this, and give it over to Scott.
First off, well, yeah, why would you do that? And I'm sorry that Dylan Brooks and his team got ambushed in the fourth quarter, which is exactly what happened. And until you take it from them, you can't say anything. We're too old. We're also transitioning, buddy. We got Jordan Poole, Jonathan Kuminga. They're going to there's the organization there from top to bottom is good. You're getting good players coming in. You know, you can talk all you want about Curry, Thompson, and Green, but they're still there. They're still winning, and you're going to be facing the younger guys coming up who are trained by these guys in the near future. You know, when you beat us, you know, you can start saying that. I agree there's a rivalry that's budding here that is getting quite ugly, to be honest, but, you know, keep a lid on it until you actually take it. I mean, you know, you didn't even see Morant say anything after that. They did it in Memphis, but after that game was over, the talking should have stopped. And you guys go home, nurse your wounds, and look at the video and see what you can do next year. It's over.
Scott, any thoughts?
I mean, come on. I mean, you know what? It's too bad it has to come down to that. I mean, let's face it. But with that Memphis Golden State series, that was a chipping series to begin with, and you knew that emotions are going to run high to begin with. Harry Payton Jr. gets TKO'd because of a broken arm, and then all of a sudden all this physical chippy play. You know, so what are you going to do? I mean, it's just one of those unfortunate things where emotions get caught up in the moment, and it leads to other things that should or shouldn't be said. You know what I mean? And it's unfortunate. It really, really is. But you know what? I've been around it for so long, Mark. You know, in the end, a series should end with a handshake is what it should be, knowing, you know, you battled as hard as you could for the entire season and you got to play a little bit longer, but they don't necessarily see it that way. So hopefully cooler heads prevail down the road. And, of course, and here's the thing. When players get really fully vested, you know the energy carries over into the fans and you know what happens because we spent the theme of our show talking about it. So, you know, I don't care what city you're in, whether it's picking on New Jersey or Dallas or wherever. Tell them emotion, fans. Okay, why do you think people call them fans? We all know it's a short word for fanatics, right? You know what I mean? Well, can I tell you guys a very interesting story that when I dated a woman many years ago, I'll never forget the time when we went to the Miami Heat Indiana Pacers game. I was sitting up in the second level or higher. And my girlfriend at the time was from Metro Detroit said to me, here I am looking at Eric Spoelstra drawing up a play, okay? And I'm not cheering or nothing. My eyes are so locked in at the bench and the tunnel because I'm a creature of habit, right, Bruce and Mark?
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
So my girlfriend says, Scott, can I ask you an honest question, okay? Do you even know what it's like to be a fan? I said, no, I really don't like, no, and I don't want to be one because I'm a creature of habit. We've continued to date. It's just we never went to another sporting event because she wanted me to be locked in with her instead of being in my work environment, not work environment. But she was a great girl. We hit along really good, and that was certainly not the end of our relationship. We went on dating a long time. It's just the difference between a fan and fanatics carrying it over to certain levels that nowadays, unfortunately, are acceptable. And I should also point out overseas, things get really more violent than they hear in North America, especially in the United States. I think I hear it gets bad out in Italy, England, and across the world. You know, what we're seeing here is the far cry from what you're seeing across there. I'm going to be covering a soccer game later today. You know, and Mark and Bruce, don't evaluate what you think is going to be fan violence in Florida. They go wherever the hell they want. We don't have attendance. There's a lot of social distancing at these events, pal. More than 6 feet apart, maybe like six seats apart, not feet. So take it for whatever it's worth.
Let me throw an addendum to that, because I went to a soccer game in England with a girl that I was dating, and we were in Birmingham, and there were other little minor incidences, but the one that got to me was we got there and we had to stand up. There were no seats, and I said, "Oh, baby, what's up with this no seats in America? You know, we like to sit down and watch our sports. We used to have seats here, but they'd stop pulling them out and bashing each other with them." And that is true. Soccer Man England, there's going to be a fight at almost every game there. And after you got out, the fans were tossing bottles at each other, and I had to duck into a doorway. It was, they lived up to the billing. I was kind of expecting this, but you had to see it to believe it. Yeah, it is worse overseas. Just throwing that in there.
Right. Bruce, what's your topic today? And then we'll give it over to Scott, 15 minutes left in the show.
Okay. Well, of course, yesterday, I'm sorry about Pittsburgh. Yesterday was a day of pure Bay Area joy. And I liked what, after the Warriors laid that egg the other day, there was a lot of talk about, okay, was it Mike Brown's fault for not motivating him? Were they just not into it? Did they not, come on, this is a championship team. They're supposed to close out. And yeah, it got under people's skin. I certainly was saying, boy, that they were throwing that ball around like an unwanted grenade. And it was like one of the ugliest games I'd ever seen him play. And I like the bounce back on this great game, three quarters close. And then you saw what the Warriors have done in the past, you know, burial. I mean, the shots are falling, the ball movement, the whole thing. And it's like a nice, nice crushing fourth quarter. I was ecstatic about it. And at the same time, I was fortunate enough to be in a place with multiple TVs as I watched the Giants humble the Cardinals for their sixth straight victory. And I like the fact that the Cardinals I consider a good team. So, and they're doing it on the road. This NL West is going to be a heck of a division. Everybody is over 500. We're within a half game of the Dodgers. The Padres are now tied with the Dodgers. It is getting very, very exciting. I don't see any of these top three teams folding, and I do think the Giants have the loosest clubhouse in the major league. So they enjoy what they're doing, and I think the Warriors enjoy what they're doing. I am having a great time watching local sports right now. That's what's going on in my mind.
Scott?
Well, let's face the reality. In a perfect world, what I'd like to see, I don't know if it's perfect or not, though, is I'd love to see the Milwaukee Bucks take on the Golden State Warriors. Holy Toledo. Maybe I'll go ahead and get my spot on Saturday to my wife, Candy, and then she can take my place with you, Bruce, instead, and then you guys can have a really great old time. I'll give up the microphone for one day, Bruce, or my wife, and you can have it, and I'll just take the background if she wants to. If she doesn't, it doesn't matter. I'll do her speaking for her. Not that I don't when it comes to really tough stuff anyways. So I don't know. I personally would like to see the Warriors and the Bucks. I think it would remind me of the old Western Conference when Milwaukee was in the Western Conference with Golden State. And if you guys haven't heard over the week, I believe the Western Conference award is named after Oscar Robertson, isn't it? The former Milwaukee Bucks. So there's be a nice correlation.
Indeed. So, yeah. Nothing to say about your Miami Heat?
Not yet. Oh, and by the way, for all you Oakland people out there, I do a picture of many years ago of myself taken with Rick Barry. You know, I said a lot of what I wanted to say in the Miami Heat last night, that I was actually going out there and singing the praises of Jimmy Butler. And while before I came on the show today, I'm pumping the daylights out of it. And Jimmy Butler, to me, is to play in any era.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, Tobias here, I love what Joel Embiid, what Jimmy Butler said earlier during the week or a few days ago. You want Tobias Harris over me? Come on. I love that kind of comment. I really do.
Indeed.
I'll take Butler all day long.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you one thing, guys. Yeah, I like Butler. You know, Miami, we talked about it yesterday, Scott.
That's a juggernaut there. It starts with, you know, Mickey Arison, the owner, Pat Riley, I mean, Eric Spoltra, and taking a stand with LeBron years ago. I mean, this is a tough team here, but I really think, you know, it's going to be Milwaukee and Miami in this thing. We got a game 7 tomorrow with the Bucks and Celtics. I think it's the Warriors in Phoenix, and I think the Warriors, I said it from the start of the playoffs, I thought it was going to be the Warriors and Bucks. But, you know, a Warrior-Heat thing would be interesting, too, Bruce.
Indeed. We had an earlier game with them this year, which we were down like 20 points, with the second squad in there being led by Jordan Poole. They were resting everybody. We actually came back to win that game. I wouldn't mind seeing the Heat.
Bill from Covina coming in, he said, guys, I'm listening to you live. I'm ready to throw up. The only thing that matters is my 17 titles in Los Angeles with the Lakers. Warriors, Bucks, and Heat can't even make a team that compete with Showtime. Wow. Bill from Covina.
People in Boston.
This guy's absolutely
right
crazy. Never heard of LeBron and Bosch and Wade in Miami. He's never heard of the Warriors winning titles or my Bucks. I mean, this guy must be living in the past with the Lakers.
Yes, he is.
People in Boston, want to surpass the Lakers in the title department at 18-17. And don't forget that storyline as we continue to talk over the next several weeks and the playoffs wind down. That's the way I look at it. I mean, this to me is – this is making some pretty good content for us in conversation. It really does. So that's how I look at it. So, the only matchup I don't think I would really care for would be the Miami Golden State. I think you'd have a – to me, it would remind me of the Miami Lakers, and I think Golden State would put them out in 4-5. I don't think that series has sustainability. You need a team that can physically match – against Golden State. Draymond Green can play in any era. I don't care how many technical fouls this guy gets. I love his defense, and I love his – between his defense and his intensity, and I don't care. I'll take him in the 80s and 90s. That's how good a Draymond Green is. He really is. Forget about the offense. If he gives you any more power to you, and anybody that has the guts to go out there and get technical foul, go to a hotel room and create a podcast is okay with me. He helps our business out.
He is beloved.
And by the way, I'm from
Bruce, let's give it over to Scott with a topic, and then we'll start winding down this show.
Go
fire away,
Scott.
Man. Well,
all
you
right.
Tell me.
What's on your mind?
What's that?
Well, what is on your mind? What topic do you want to go?
We'll talk hockey a little bit. I got to hand it to the Florida Panthers. They got a gorilla off their back last night beating the Washington Capitals. And I think what makes that story really interesting is the Washington Capitals did not pay Barry Trotz, their Stanley Cup winning coach, and reward him for guiding them there. The Capitals have not won a series since 2018. Okay, so now they've got a donut in the series department, but you got to hand it to the Panthers. They got a big grill off their back last night. They did. I wasn't sure how well they would do, but I will still stay with my comments that over Sergei Bobrovsky, I will take John Van Beesbrook or Roberto Luongo still over Bobrovsky. I believe in that, but I got to give the Panthers their due. They're a resilient bunch. And we'll see how it all plays out, as for the other rest of the teams, I'm going to give the Panthers their props tonight. I really, really am. They've worked hard. They've been a good group. And, they have a savvy general manager in Bill Zito. And I think, I wouldn't mind also mentioning a special shout-out in your area, Bruce, to Patrick Marleau. I think he announced his retirement as the all-time leader.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
In games played. Let me tell you what. I hate to see what happened with Handle when he had his consecutive game snapped because the Philadelphia Flyers gave him a healthy scratch. I hated that. It bothered me to no end, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Philly fans didn't like it. And I saw Yandel play last year, but you know what? Patrick Marleau is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Anybody that has an Iron Man streak is okay with me. I don't care what it is, but hats off to the Panthers. They earn it. Now the task gets tougher. They've got we'll see how the rest of the Final Four plays out.
Indeed.
Bruce, do you want to comment on that? Then I'll throw a comment on that.
I agree with you on Patrick Marleau. That's about the only thing they have to talk about in San Jose at this point. I'm not the best at hockey, but congratulations to your Marlins. And I know you're still sweating this one, Mark, with Pittsburgh, and your ball club's a little bit better at baseball than I thought they'd be. I'm just,
yeah, just
going
to get the Reds
so
off
happy.
The schedule. We've lost 4 out of 5 with them, 2 to go. We face Hunter Green tomorrow, coming off a series where we took 2 out of 3, got the Albatross away from the Dodgers. We're laying down with the Reds, and that's tough to take. So hopefully, I think it's the end of the line for some of these guys. Mitch Keller's got to find the strike zone, man. You can't lose to these teams that are below you in the standings. And you know, when I looked at this, the 14 games and the stretch was the Dodgers were in this, and you had Cubs and Reds for 11 of the 14. You got to do something. And now after we get done with the Reds, we go to the Cubs. If we don't do anything with them, then we're going to get into a stretch where we got the Cardinals and the Rockies at home, go on the road and get the Padres and Dodgers. So, well, it's in a note, but yeah, the painful one in Pittsburgh with the Penguins losing yesterday, lost 2 in a row. They had this series. Crosby goes down. We'll find out what we're made out of tomorrow in New York in a Game 7, winner take all. And should be interesting.
Hey, Bruce, someone
as we wind this thing down, Scott, you had a thought on that?
Yeah, I want to say something about San Jose, if I may. Many years ago when I covered a Lions game at State Park, I had an opportunity to see the San Jose Sharks play in the Cow Palace when they first started out and also at their place in San Jose. I'm really happy that the Bay Area got a team in San Jose and they took them out of the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, which used to be the California Golden Seals.
Golden Seals.
I really am. But Jose, to me, it's good that a town like that can actually represent the Bay Area. And I know that they have a soccer tradition with the San Jose Earthquake. So I wouldn't sell San Jose short for being a sports town. More power to them out there. I really, I think they've supported the NHL well and represented the Bay Area. I know a lot more about Bay Area sports than most people that would be jumping on your train there, Bruce.
Joey from Chelmsford, Massachusetts goes, guys, I've looked at the schedule and everything. Memo to you, Scott, the Lions aren't even on a primetime game this year except Thanksgiving playing the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, well, you know what? I've had time to digest that one, and I guess thank God for Thanksgiving because we always lose anyway, so everybody can come up with a win. But I got news for you. The guys that represent the coach that talks about kneecaps will have a chip on their shoulder like a lot of quarterbacks that got selected out of the first round. You know what I mean? So it's okay to have a chip on your shoulder and, you know, target a few more at prime time. They haven't deserved it lately. I will say one thing, and I hate to say this in a house with a Wisconsin person in there. For all that matters, on my wife's birthday, December 3rd, a few years back when my mother-in-law died, my wife witnessed probably the greatest football game ever when Aaron Rodgers threw that Hail Mary. And I was saying, oh, hell no. And I was covering that game with George Eichhorn, our colleague on Fire Up Michigan. And I told George when this thing was about to end, I have a crazy feeling something bad's going to happen when you gave Aaron an extra down because of a penalty. And what do you think happened? Hail Mary.
Well, I'll tell you the thing. As we wind this thing down, and I'll go to you, Bruce, to get your comments on how people can get a hold of you. Then we'll get over to Scott. The Redskins. Get the Lions' second game of the year in Detroit, visit San Francisco December 24th, and the Raiders come into Pittsburgh on December 24th. You know, there was a stretch there where the Raiders, ever since that immaculate reception, didn't go into Pittsburgh for 20 years. It seems like every year they're part of that schedule going back to Pittsburgh. So, case in point with the way the NFL schedule is broken out this year. Bruce, any final thought, and how can people get a hold of you?
Go Warriors and Holy Roller 91978@gmail.com or Facebook.
Scott, how can people get a hold of you, my good friend?
Well, first of all, I guess he hasn't adapted Bruce to the Commanders yet, so I just thought to make sure he knows now. Watch the Commanders learn. But www.southfloridatribune.com, Twitter at Tribune South, and you can also reach me on LinkedIn and subscribe to the South Florida Tribune YouTube channel. But Mark and I and everybody else will guarantee you won't be disappointed. That's how you can reach us. So
I will tell you this as we wind this thing out. You know, the Redskins, you bring up the Indians in case in point. You know, I wouldn't have a problem if those teams were around a couple years. But when they've been around 87 years and 100 and something years like the Indians have,
it takes a lot of getting used to the name change, and I think it, for the people in those cities, it's a long name change too. And you know, hey, who knows? But you know, I think the logos back then were great. I think everything with the Chief Wahoo on the sleeves and stuff. But things have changed, and we got to adapt. So on that point, for Bruce Kessinger in Oakland, Scott Morgan Roth down there in South Florida, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Catch this show every Saturday, same time, same place. Also catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to. Thanks for tuning in. Have a wonderful one, guys, and we'll see you next week.